Thank you so much. Thank you very, very much, Sharon. And I'm so grateful for the Bible. I really am. And that I don't have to walk around and not know about what has happened to me through the Lord. I don't have to guess about it. That I can actually read it and understand it more and more. I just wanted to say a little bit about the book of Ephesians. I was thinking about this book as I was getting ready for this meeting. One of the things that I read was that this was another one of the letters that Paul had written while he was imprisoned. And it made me think a lot about recovery and what happens when God comes into my life. He allows me to show up for life even when circumstances are bad. I know that that is really true even on this meeting. Every time I hear Olga, I think I pray it's okay to say your name. When you come on and I know that you're in pain, yet you're showing up, you're suiting up and showing up. And others too. I know people who have shared about things that happen at work, and they come and they show up no matter what. And I'm grateful for that, that they show me, and like Paul is showing me too, that he was in prison and yet his mind was on encouraging those who he discipled, those he shepherded. And so I have to remember that too, that God always has given me, he's given me some revelation already. So even if I don't know the answer to what he wants me to do about a question that I have already asked him about, he has answered other questions. And so I can take that truth and go to work on that while I'm waiting for him to answer another question. And that's the beauty. And again, here's Paul, you know, writing to these Ephesians. And it's amazing to me that he has such strength. And yet it's not amazing to me because I know he does it in the Spirit of God. When I was getting ready, sometimes I like to look up the original Greek word, and like I told you, it's a very good site for doing that. The BlueLetterBible.org is the best site lately that I have found for this, although there are many sites that do this. But if you go to the BlueLetterBible.org, and if you put it so that it's set on the King James Version, it can give you numbers. You see little numbers by each of the word, and if you click on those numbers, it will show you the original Greek word for the word, and it will even give you the pronunciation, and it gives you several definitions, which I love because I read through them and they really go to my heart. And so I did that for part of the Ephesians study to get ready for this meeting. And in the very first verse, it says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus. So I looked up the word apostle, and it was a Greek word, apostolos, it said. And the definition was that it was a messenger, one sent out with orders. And I thought about that, and I went, wow, Paul says that he is an apostolos, and so am I. Because God gave me a message when he saved me. And that message that he has given to me is that Jesus is assuredly the promised Messiah. And I have, like Paul, been commissioned to take this message into a world that is really burdened with unforgiveness. And that I have to remember too, that anyone who does not know Jesus as Lord, that means that he does not have the Messiah. He does not have that understanding, that he does not have to be burdened by unforgiveness and sin. They have that. They have a burden, whether they are trying to cover it up with some kind of obsession or some kind of compulsion. It is like an itchy stain, that's what I had written down, because that was how I felt. I had this itchy stain that had no human relief. There was no human relief that could take away that itchiness and that stain that I had in me. That only Jesus could do that. Only He could. And I want to always, because I never know who listens on this phone line. I just know that a lot of times when I get off the line, I can go and I can see that there's a certain amount of people that don't speak, which is wonderful. It's grateful. I'm glad that people come around and they want to listen and probably check us out, and that's fine. But there might be people listening who don't know Jesus. And so I want to let you know, if you're listening and you do not have a saving knowledge with the Lord Jesus Christ, you can do that wherever you are. I always like to tell my story of how I did it in my own living room by myself. I was in more like a dining room desk area, but I can almost see myself when I was doing it. It was like I heard the gospel over the radio, and this is from one who had been in church all my life, but again, I did not understand the good news. And the good news is that I am, number one, because I am a child of Adam, I descended from Adam and Eve, and that they had made that original sin, that I had the original sin too. I had a sin nature in me, and it was nothing that man could do to erase that sin, but there was something that God could do. And what He did is that He became incarnate. He became the Son of God, and He gave me the opportunity to accept salvation through the payment of a spotless lamb. You know, it's a song that says, you know, my Savior became a lamb, or my shepherd became a lamb. That's the name of it. My shepherd became a lamb. And so I like it that Jesus was the shepherd, but He also became the sacrificial lamb, and that He gave up His life so that my forgiveness could come. But He does not force that forgiveness on me, but He does hold it out for me, and I'm grateful that I took my hand and put it out too, and took it to me. And because of that, His Spirit has been placed in me. And you can do that. All you need to do at some point, you know, is to get on your knees and tell the Lord that you know that you are a sinner, you know, and tell Him that you know that you believe that He has saved your sin, and He has sent Jesus as that Messiah to do that. And you want your sins forgiven, and you place that sin on Him and ask Him, you know, to please be your Savior and your Lord. And if you do it with all sincerity, I know this from the Word of God, but also what is placed in my heart, that you will be saved. You know, when you call on Him, you'll be saved, and His Spirit will be placed on you, in you. So if there's anyone who's listening and has never done that, I tell you, you know, take that moment in time to do that, because you will see a difference. You will know a difference, you know, over time. But that verse goes on and says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, he says, by the will of God. And I looked up that word will, and it says thelame, thelame. That's what the guy said, thelame. And it means God's pleasure. And so despite what the devil would have me believe, God is good, and it pleases Him to give me good things. And when I wrote that down on my paper, it reminded me of something that I had read in Luke. And this is what it reads in Luke. This is Jesus who was telling his listeners. He said, you know, to knock, you know, and seek. And He said, which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And that is such a wonderful thing to read, especially in light of, you know, like sometimes you can get into, or not you, but I can listen to things on the radio, and I think, whoa, boy, if I didn't know better, I could think that I could question if I was among the elect, you know, because you can read, you know, before the foundation of the world that Jesus, you know, chose people. But I love that in that it says that it is God's pleasure. And in another part of the Bible, it says that he doesn't want anyone to perish. And so it says in Luke 11, what I just read, 11 through 13, it says, if I, as a sinful person, know how to give to my kids, how much will the Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And the Holy Spirit indwells those who have asked Jesus to be their Lord and their Savior. So anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. I said that in another part of the Bible. So call on him. Call on him and he will answer you and he will show you great and mighty things which you know is not. Which is that, and that is Jeremiah 33:3. He says, call unto me and I will show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not. In the verse, still in verse 1, it says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, and he says, to the saints. And I looked up that word saints, and that was hagios, it says. And it says, a person whose services God employs. And this I learned as I became a Bible student. I learned that saints are not people that other people declare, you know, because I had grown up with the understanding that, you know, if a person had been good in life, then someone in high authority could go, boom, that person is a saint, and then they would become a saint, you know, in some way. And that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches is that those who are under the services of God, that God has employed, they are the saints. And so that's why Paul refers to the people he's talking, that he knows that have known the Lord, he calls them saints. Because once they are a born-again believer, every born-again believer is a saint by the biblical definition of a saint. A saint is a person whose services God employs. It's a person who has turned over their will and their life over to the care of Jesus Christ. You know, they are a saint, and they have been set aside to do holy things, which I'm very, very grateful that he has done that for me. I'm going to end with just the second verse where it says, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace, when I looked up the word grace, it says hares, hares, is C-H-A-R-I-S, but it's pronounced like an H, hares. And it says sweetness, goodness, and favor. And in the spirit of Jesus, I'm able to be gentle, I'm able to be sweet, and I'm able to be a loving person. That's only in the spirit of Christ. He does that. Boy, oh boy, he does it. And the way he does it is that he reminds me of how much he loved me, even when I didn't love him, and how much he did for me, even when I didn't give him the time of day. And when I think deeply on that, it breaks my heart, and it just fills me with such love and gratitude for what he does. And it causes me to be like a tamed little horse, you know, that it causes me to be gentle and sweet and loving because of him. And then the last word I'll talk about is the word peace. And I love it that someone has said this before. It says, know Jesus, the word N-O, know Jesus, and it says no peace. But then it says no Jesus, K-N-O-W, and no peace. And I know that that is very, very true for me, because in Christ, I'm not fighting the voices. I'm not fighting my flesh. I'm not fighting your flesh. Jesus is teaching me to fight my battles on my knees. So I don't fight with my fist up. And that's what I mean by not fighting. I'm not fighting you in that way. But I am praying. And I'm very, very grateful for the power of prayer because of Jesus who is behind the prayer that I pray. But I'm going to stop there. I'm going to ask our shepherd, Sharon, if she could say some words.